Religion, Violence, and the Future of Civilization. Billions of people share your belief that the creator of the universe wrote or dictated one of our books. Unfortunately, there are many books that pretend to divine authorship, and they make incompatible claims about how we all must live. Competing religious doctrines have shattered our world into separate moral communities, and these divisions have become a continual source of human conflict. In response to this situation, many sensible people advocate something called religious tolerance. While religious tolerance is surely better than religious war, tolerance is not without its problems. Our fear of provoking religious hatred has rendered us unwilling to criticize ideas that are increasingly maladaptive and patently ridiculous. It has also obliged us to lie to ourselves, repeatedly and at the highest levels of discourse, about the compatibility between religious faith and scientific rationality. Our competing religious certainties are impeding the emergence of a viable global civilization. Religious faith. Faith that there is a God who cares what name he is called. Faith that Jesus is coming back to earth. Faith that Muslim martyrs go straight to paradise. Is on the wrong side of an escalating war of ideas. Religion raises the stakes of human conflict much higher than tribalism, racism, or politics ever can, as it is the only form of in-group-out-group thinking that casts the differences between people in terms of eternal rewards and punishments. One of the enduring pathologies of human culture is the tendency to raise children to fear and demonize other human beings on the basis of religious faith. Consequently, faith inspires violence in at least two ways. First, people often kill other human beings because they believe that the creator of the universe wants them to do it. Islamist terrorism is a recent example of this sort of behavior. Second, far greater numbers of people fall into conflict with one another because they define their moral community on the basis of their religious affiliation. Muslims side with other Muslims, Protestants with Protestants, Catholics with Catholics. These conflicts are not always explicitly religious, but the bigotry and hatred that divide one community from another are often the products of their religious identities. Conflicts that seem driven entirely by terrestrial concerns, therefore, are often deeply rooted in religion. The fighting that has plagued Palestine, Jews versus Muslims, the Balkans, Orthodox Serbians versus Catholic Croatians, Orthodox Serbians versus Bosnian and Albanian Muslims, Northern Ireland, Protestants versus Catholics, Kashmir, Muslims versus Hindus, Sudan, Muslims versus Christians and animists, in a long-standing civil war distinct from the genocide that is currently occurring in the Darfur region of Sudan, Nigeria, Muslims versus Christians, Ethiopia and Eritrea, Muslims versus Christians, Ivory Coast, Muslims versus Christians, Sri Lanka, Sinhalese Buddhists versus Tamil Hindus, Philippines, Muslims versus Christians, Iran and Iraq, Shiite versus Sunni Muslims, and the Caucasus, Orthodox Russians versus Chechen Muslims, Muslim Azerbaijanis versus Catholic and Orthodox Armenians, are merely a few recent cases in point. And yet, while the religious divisions in our world are self-evident, many people still imagine that religious conflict is always caused by a lack of education, by poverty, or by politics. Most non-believers, liberals, and moderates apparently think that no one ever really sacrifices his life or the lives of others on account of his religious beliefs. Such people simply do not know what it is like to be certain of paradise. Consequently, they can't believe that anyone is certain of paradise. It is worth remembering that the September 11th hijackers were college-educated, middle-class people who had no discernible experience of political oppression. They did, however, spend a remarkable amount of time at their local mosque talking about the depravity of infidels and about the pleasures that await martyrs in paradise. How many more architects and engineers must hit the wall at 400 miles an hour before we admit to ourselves that jihadist violence is not merely a matter of education, poverty, or politics? The truth, astonishingly enough, is this. In the year 2006, a person can have sufficient intellectual and material resources to build a nuclear bomb and still believe that he will get 72 virgins in paradise. Western secularists, liberals, and moderates have been very slow to understand this. The cause of their confusion is simple. They don't know what it is like to really believe in God. Let us briefly consider where our discordant religious certainties are leading us on a global scale. The Earth is now home to about 1.4 billion Muslims, many of whom believe that one day you and I will either convert to Islam, live in subjugation to a Muslim caliphate, or be put to death for our unbelief. Islam is now the fastest growing religion in Europe. The birth rate among European Muslims is 3 times that of their non-Muslim neighbors. If current trends continue, France will be a majority Muslim country in 25 years, and that is if immigration were to stop tomorrow. Throughout Europe, Muslim communities often show little inclination to acquire the secular and civil values of their host countries, and yet they exploit these values to the utmost, demanding tolerance for their misogyny, their anti-Semitism, and the religious hatred that is regularly preached in their mosques. Forced marriages, honor killings, punitive gang rapes, and a homicidal loathing of homosexuals are now features of an otherwise secular Europe, courtesy of Islam. Women are thought to dishonor their families by refusing to enter into an arranged marriage, seeking a divorce, committing adultery, even by being raped or suffering some other form of sexual assault. Women in these situations are often murdered by their fathers, husbands, or brothers, sometimes with the collaboration of other women. Honor killing is, perhaps, best viewed as a cultural rather than strictly religious phenomenon, and it is not unique to the Muslim world. The practice, however, finds considerable support under Islam, given that the religion explicitly views women as the property of men and considers adultery a capital offense. Throughout the Muslim world, a woman who reports being raped runs the risk of being murdered as an adulteress. She has, after all, admitted to having sex outside of marriage. Political correctness and the fear of racism have made many Europeans reluctant to oppose the terrifying religious commitments of the extremists in their midst. With a few exceptions, the only public figures who have had the courage to speak honestly about the threat that Islam now poses to European society seem to be fascists. This does not bode well for the future of civilization. The idea that Islam is a peaceful religion hijacked by extremists is a fantasy, and it is now a particularly dangerous fantasy for Muslims to indulge. It is not at all clear how we should proceed in our dialogue with the Muslim world, but deluding ourselves with euphemisms is not the answer. It is now a truism in foreign policy circles that real reform in the Muslim world cannot be imposed from the outside. But it is important to recognize why this is so. It is so because most Muslims are utterly deranged by their religious faith. Muslims tend to view questions of public policy and global conflict in terms of their affiliation with Islam. And Muslims who don't view the world in these terms risk being branded as apostates and killed by other Muslims. But how can we ever hope to reason with the Muslim world if we are not reasonable ourselves? It accomplishes nothing to merely declare that we all worship the same God. We do not all worship the same God, and nothing attests to this fact more eloquently than our history of religious bloodshed. Within Islam, the Shia and the Sunni can't even agree to worship the same God in the same way. And over this, they have been killing one another for centuries. It seems profoundly unlikely that we will heal the divisions in our world through interfaith dialogue. Devout Muslims are as convinced as you are that their religion is perfect and that any deviation leads directly to hell. It is easy, of course, for the representatives of the major religions to occasionally meet and agree that there should be peace on earth, or that compassion is the common thread that unites all of the world's faiths. But there is no escaping the fact that a person's religious beliefs uniquely determine what he thinks peace is good for, as well as what he means by a term like compassion. There are millions, maybe hundreds of millions, of Muslims who would be willing to die before they would allow your version of compassion to gain a foothold on the Arabian Peninsula. How can interfaith dialogue, even at the highest level, reconcile worldviews that are fundamentally incompatible and, in principle, immune to revision? The truth is, it really matters what billions of human beings believe and why they believe it.